Then I did promise you that we'd be going to a gardener. We are going to a gardener right now because he's got another appointment and he can't stay with us too long on the programme today. Kieran, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you, Johnny.
Yes, you were just before this chat with Fran, we were talking about those gardens. You didn't see the pictures, no?
There was not the gardens, but the garden sheds. Yeah. No, I must have a look after. Sounds fascinating.
Okay, now then, on the programme today, you brought in a load of different plants. I know one of them to see. I would see it on the side of the road, but as for the others, I don't know. Yeah. But anyways, the first thing we're talking about is a flowering currant.
Flowering currant. Yeah, we've got
Ribes sanguineum, is it?
Very good, Ribes sanguineum, flowering currant. And of a couple of plants which people might see as they're driving around the countryside, or even some of them they'll see in people's gardens. And the flowering currant, it's related to black currant, red currant, gooseberry. It's in the same, they're all Ribes.
It looks like a raspberry or strawberry, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, a little bit like
flowers,
it, all right. Yeah. But the flowers come out much earlier than many other shrubs, and they're quite ornamental. So your black currant at home won't have as colourful or as big flowers as this. So this one is not grown for its fruits, but for its ornamental flowers at this time of year. And the name Ribes means like it's a currant, but sanguineum. You know what sanguineum means?
No.
Bloody.
Oh.
Blood. So if you look, the buds are red.
Yeah.
I say sort of like little drops of blood.
Yeah.
So that's why, so you could call it the bloody currant bush in the garden.
There's quite a lot of, you've got just a small piece and there's quite a lot of flowers in that.
A lot of flowers. So you will see it as you drive around the countryside. And it's not a native plant, but it's one which has been grown in gardens for generations. And it sort of escapes from the gardens out into the hedgerows, or people planted in the hedgerows many years ago. So it looks like a wild plant in many cases. But equally, if you go to the garden centre, it is a plant which is popularly sold at this time of year. And because it is a very colourful plant, and it's one of the first really noticeable shrubs coming into flower in the spring. So it really gives you this sort of lift as you come into March to see the flowering currant out in the garden, and it's very, very beautiful. And there are some slightly different varieties. We've one in the garden with yellow leaves, so it's kind of nice colourful foliage in the summer. But this one is from the hedgerow just down the road from our house, and it's very pretty. The only thing I don't like about it is if you smell the leaves, and it's the same of all currants, they have a rather pungent sort of scent from them.
Oh, they have.
It reminds me
like
of tomcats.
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 It reminds me of the smell, the same smell you get from nettles.
Oh, that reminds me.
Of what?
When you'd be small and you'd be playing out in the fields.
Exactly.
Down
yeah, and the docker leaves and all that.
So it must have red currants bushes growing in Belmullet. Yeah. So that's really good.
Yeah, they're lovely looking though.
Yeah. It's a lovely plant and it's very easy to grow as well. And if you go to any garden centre at this time of year, they'll surely have it in stock. It grows to maybe 6 feet high. So it's a good big shrub and you can put it in a hedgerow or have it as a solitary plant or as part of a shrub planting in the garden, and it's very ornamental.
So if the wind blows through it, you'll get the aroma coming off it.
You would get, not so much, really have to be very close
to
it.
Close,
and that. But it's a beautiful flower.
Now the other one that you have beside you is the one that I would recognise on the road.
Absolutely.
And I know you've got to be careful when you hold this because it's very prickly.
Very prickly. It's a plant which I suppose a lot of people try to kill. Because this is what is commonly called gorse, or in some parts of the country they call it a whin bush, or furze. Its botanical name is Eulex europaeus, and it is a native plant, a wild growing plant in Ireland. And you'll see it all over the roads around the west of Ireland and on the roadsides.
I won't ask you to smell because
have the smell of the flowers. Just be careful of your nose there.
I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll take one off. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
smell,
yeah.
It's a sweet smell.
Oh, it's very sweet, yeah.
Very nice. So when you do get a nice mild spring day or early summer, you'll get that smell in the air. So although I think farmers hate it because it's quite invasive on the land, it does look nice at this time of year.
It does, yeah.
And yet there's an old saying about gorse bush, and it's saying, kissing is in fashion when the gorse bush is in flower.
Oh, very nice.
Because the thing is, a gorse bush can be in flower all through the year.
Oh, gotcha.
So kissing is never.
It looks like the colour, we'd say the same colour as the daffodil.
It is. It's the same colour and it's a very spring colour, that bright yellow.
Why so many prickles on it? That's just
I suppose it's a defence mechanism to stop animals grazing it. And this is why it's so persistent and successful at invading land. Animals don't graze it.
Because they get a prick of one of those.
So it's not necessarily a lot of people want to see in the garden. But there is a garden variety with slightly different flowers which doesn't spread as much. It's a Eulex europaeus florae plano, which has double flowers and it doesn't seed around or spread nearly as much as this one. But So it's a plant maybe some people love to see the flowers, but equally they hate to see it maybe invading their garden. Yeah, okay. So, and it is a prickly customer to try dig out of the garden, but I love the scent.
Is that the only way to get rid of it if it's overgrown, you see?
Well, you could probably add some chemicals which you can use on it, but digging it out is probably the best way. Mind you, last winter, certainly I noticed around the areas around Swinford where it got very, very cold, about minus 17 degrees Celsius, some plants of it died. So it's in a really cold winter, some plants will die off, but it's very hardy, it's persistent, and it's coming back.
Prunus persica, is it?
Persica, have a look at that. Isn't that beautiful flower?
It's beautiful.
It's a beautiful pale pink flower, and the flowers are coming out on its bare stems. Now, this is one you won't see on the sides of the roads. Prunus is the genus of plants which includes cherry.
Yeah.
And it also includes plum. So even fruiting cherries and fruiting plums are in Prunus. Now, this plant I got from my neighbour's garden, in fact, their polythene tunnel, because Prunus persica is the botanical name for peach.
And it is coloured peach.
Yeah, but actually it's the fruiting peach.
Oh.
All right. So the story with this particular plant is that my neighbours bought the plant in a supermarket plant, and it was quite cheap, and they were very proud. It was about 5 or 6 feet high, and they said, "Ciarán, where will we plant it in our garden?" And I said, "Well, to be honest, peaches trees are not going to grow well in the garden outside in the west of Ireland. It's first of all that to ripen the fruit in the summer is generally not hot enough, which we all know, but they can get a disease called peach leaf curl, which affects them in the cold, wet conditions during the spring. So I said, best to grow it in the tunnel. So they said, okay, we'll grow it in the tunnel, but will it not get too big? I said, it would, unless we train it into a fan shape. So I said, right, I'll come up and I'll plant it for you, and we'll put up the training system, and I'll do the pruning for it. So that's what we did one day. But I didn't warn them that when I was going to prune it, that they gave me their secateurs, and they were 6 feet high. I cut it down to 8 inches and handed them just the top of the tree. They were shocked. Yeah. But actually, before I did that, the secateurs broke when I tried to cut it the first time. So we cut it right down, and what we did then is train up 2 branches from the bottom. And for the last few years, they've had this beautiful tree. It's fantastic in flower at the moment. And then in the summer, they actually get bags and bags of peaches. They drop each year a shopping bag full of peaches to our house, and they're gorgeous and sweet, far nicer than anything you could buy in the shops. But the one thing that you have to do is, because the bees aren't going around at this time of year, and certainly not in the tunnel, so Karen gets a little paintbrush, and while this plant is in flower, every couple of days she goes around and you see these little bits sticking out from the centre of the flower.
Yes.
She collects the pollen off those and basically brushes from flower to flower, does the work of a bee a couple of times while it's in flower to pollinate them.
She's great patience.
Oh yeah, well, it doesn't take very long.
No, it's true. Yeah,
it's a nice job to do because they're very pretty flowers.
What you have in your hand there would remind me. Sometimes you see dried flowers or artificial flowers.
Absolutely. Where people,
that's like something now that would be nice dried, you know, and kept.
Yeah, when you dry this one, it wouldn't look so
the
well.
Leaves fall off,
but you often see them as an artificial flower, and it looks, you see, a little bit like a wild cherry, and you'd see those in sort of Japanese paintings and things like that.
Maybe it's sometime down the line, Ciarán, we could talk about, because a lot of people like to dry out flowers.
Absolutely.
The proper way to do it and keep them.
Yeah, no. And some plants,
some
particular
plants.
Ones which are suitable. Yeah. And so we'll talk about sowing them. And
now, I want to talk to you about something that I've seen you advertised with. That's the GIY meeting in Castlebar some Monday night. That's right, I did see this. It was at Lake Cayla Resource Centre on Tucker Street, right across the way there from Enda Kenny's office. Now, this is on at 7:30. And it's free, I take it, is it?
It's free. GIY stands for Grow It Yourself.
Yeah.
And it's a group within a nationwide organisation, basically like a gardening club for people who want to grow food for themselves, so vegetables and fruit. And I'm doing a talk now for that group in Castlebar on Monday night at 7:30. So we'll be talking about what to sow at this time of year, getting the vegetable garden ready so that you'll have lots of produce during the summer. And I'm also going to just show a little bit of a workshop for everybody involving these two items which I have in front of me, Johnny, which is a plastic bottle.
Yeah. A newspaper.
Half a sheet of newspaper.
Yeah, you brought them in. I was a bit mystified, but anyways.
Yeah, well, I'll show you very quickly what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Well, what I'm going to do with for everybody who comes along, we're going to have some newspaper, and I'm going to fold a piece of paper in half, wrap it around the bottle, just really quickly like this, as I'm doing now.
Yeah.
Okay, and then I'm going to do one fold, two fold, three fold very quickly.
Yeah.
Tuck it in underneath. bang the top of the bottle down on the table.
Yes.
Take it out. And I have a flower pot.
Oh, absolutely.
So everybody who comes along is going to make a flower pot out of a bit of newspaper.
You made that in about 20 seconds.
20 seconds, yeah. And we'll fill it with compost and we'll have some seeds of a thing called nasturtium seed. And everybody who comes along can sow a nasturtium seed and bring it home and grow it. And I'll show you some nasturtiums maybe growing next week.
Where
I'll tell
did you
all
learn
about
that?
It's something we came up with an idea for ourselves. We were doing an event and we wanted to make it interactive. And I had the idea of people coming along and sowing a seed and bring it home. We did it at Bloom Flower Show in Dublin during this a couple of summers ago. And there's an amazing amount of people who sowed their very first seed when doing this.
But what happens when you put water on the seeds? Does it not, the paper not tear away?
Well, then? I'm going to bring you in some next week to show you how they've been progressing over a week watering.
Brilliant.
But they hold amazingly well. We had them holding outside the back door of our house for 2 or 3 months out in the weather. And the brilliant thing also about them is you can plant the whole pot and all into the ground.
Yeah.
And the paper rots away, the roots grow through the paper and the plants don't get any root disturbance, and of course you've no waste. And if you think if you can get a newspaper, you have probably 100 pots or more in the newspaper.
You're saving a fortune.
Saving a fortune,
I mean,
and recycling.
And correct. And recycling. And most places, most places, every house has old newspapers.
Too many of
them.
Too
many. And you're always saying, God, I'll recycle these. And you do recycle these. But that's fantastic. That's a great idea. Kieran, as you said at the start of the programme, you are very busy.
I am indeed.
Fair play to you. And anything else you want to mention about today's programme?
Well, just if you can't make it to the DIY and you want to see how to make the paper pots, as always, on the website, kieranburke.ie, CIARANBURKE.ie.
Yeah.
We have a video there, a YouTube video of how to make the paper pots.
Oh, you have it on your site?
It's on the website, yeah.
Kieran Burke, as always, thank you so much indeed.
On 102.9 FM, this is C or CFM.